Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Around the ATL on a Wednesday night, not Tuesday all of a sudden. It is 10:30 at night on October 24th. Tonight was the home opener for the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena. So I decided to go ahead and do an impromptu show, non-scripted, no planning. We're just going to do a show tonight. 646-652-4479 is the number. So let me do this intro for y'all. Those who've been listening to the show for the last few months, catching up with me on social media, Facebook lives, and things of this nature, they know I've been saying a few things over and over and over again. A lot of people said I was crazy. A lot of people said I was just out of my mind. And that's cool. But there's a few things I want to point out. Candy even mentioned one of the things I mentioned, that players are on this team that have a chip on their shoulder. I said that, right? I said that this team has a deeper bench than people think they have. And I'll go through the stats just to prove that. And the other part of this is that why wouldn't you want to support the newness of this team from the very start to whenever they do win their first championship together? And now you're seeing all of this going, you know, falling into fruition. Technically, it started on Sunday. That was the evidence that I did on Tuesday night. I said it took three games for people to see Trae Young is exactly who we think he is. Okay? But now, with all said and done, what doubt do you have now? 7-9. And I say that on the basis of think about when you see something, you can tell whether or not something is fake or not, right? You can tell. There's evidence. There's quirks. There's elements that you can see to say, you know what, this is just a one and done thing. This can't ever happen again. This probably won't happen again. You see what I'm saying? And in this case, that's just not possible. One, think about who we have on this team. Okay. In a moment, I'm going to go through some stats. I'm going to go through some figures because people like stats, and, you know, usually stats don't lie, all right? But the biggest point is you have people who want to play. You have people who want to win. Trae has said many times already he wants to go to the playoffs. He wants this team to win. He wants to take this team, this fan base, further than they've ever been before. And you have a lot of people who just don't want it. They just want to stay losers forever. And here we are on the cusp of something, and you saw what you saw. If you saw it on TV or you were at the game, I want you to call in, especially if you were at the game. 7-9, how do you feel? Are you that person who had two jerseys on? Did you have a Dallas Maverick jersey under your Hawks jersey at State Farm Arena at the home opener? Was that you? You see what I'm saying? Was it you? Maybe it was. I don't know. Who's out there right now? Or are you an actual fan who is jumping up and down and high-fiving everybody because the team won? No, first of all, because the team came back. It was looking pretty bad. First quarter, they gave up 40. And you can understand it to a point. You could see this time yeah, it got to him a little bit. You could see it. Foul trouble. The ref boy. I was like, okay. Y'all just don't want this to happen on ESPN. I mean, Braun FPN. My bad. Braun FPN. Y'all just don't want. Oh, I didn't watch the ESPN broadcast, by the way. I just didn't want to do it. So I stuck with the home team. So I'm going to go back and see what highlights they put up there. You know, and what McCall just mentioned it. Jerome, 12 points in the first quarter, 9 the rest of the game. Luka didn't do that. All right. 646-652-4479. So hopefully a few Hawks fans that were actually in the game will call in. Definitely want to give y'all a chance to talk, all right, about the Hawks tonight. And those who watch it on TV, I'm sure all y'all were standing up and down and all that kind of good stuff, all right? Just like we did in preseason game against San Antonio, right? See, again, a lot of people are like, well, we don't ever have no stuff. Well, guess what? We've self-developed stars. Did you see the intro? Did you see our intro? See, just the intro alone should put you in a different frame of mind than a loser mentality or not want to support the team that's under contract. How hard everybody played tonight. DeAndre Bembry, Dedmon, who hadn't played in forever, he's out there. Jeremy Lin chipped in with a three. Red Mamba out there in clutch minutes. Out there on the court doing stuff. You see what I'm saying? You can't appreciate the three blocks from Alex Lynn. You can't. Why wouldn't you want to participate in that? Or do you just want to continue to be standoffish? Do you want to continue to not want to admit that this team is better than you think it's going to be? And stop wishing for the team to lose games on purpose for your benefit. Because that's no such thing. This team is not playing for you to lose. Definitely that's not going to happen. So you might as well, whoever that is still out there thinking that, that's over and done with. Sorry. The team is 2-2. The team is pacing right now. 4-9. I forget my number. 646-652-4479 is the number to call in. Oh, you know what? I hadn't opened up the chat room, so let's open up the chat room real quick. And remember, this is not a scheduled show. I don't have a script for this particular show. I'm going to wing it, as I am really good at winging it because I've been doing my show for a long time now, obviously. And we're just talking Hawks tonight, so that makes it easy. Open up this chat for me. My co-host, George Jackson, may come in to the show tonight. Not sure. I did let them know kind of last minute. I kind of let y'all know at the same time. I did hear a lot of people in certain Facebook groups, New Pack City. Shout out to New Pack City. That was coming on, and some people said that they wanted to hear me. So hopefully those people are at least are listening. But I definitely would like a few to call in. All right, so let's see. All right, chat room is up. So let's say if you're at work or somewhere or you're on your way home, maybe you are not the driver, if you would like to at least chip in, go ahead and hit us up on the chat room. But definitely call in 646-652-4479. So I am about to – all right, so let's see if I can do this. This is the hard part of trying to do a live show. And I know some of these people are actually at the game. Some people are in different time zones. So I know that would be a little bit thrown off. Like I say, I didn't plan this show, but I do. Let's see. What is that? There's a comment. Let me see what that says. Bear with me. I'm trying to kind of fix a few things here. Like I say, I didn't plan this. I would have give a little bit more time to set up, but let me go to the stats, because like I said, we love stats. Sorry about that blank time there. I was trying to message a few people there. All right, so wasn't a pleasant game as far as just the flow and everything. You know, we were down a lot in the first quarter. We had to shoot a lot to get back into it and all that kind of blah, blah, blah. So we shot 40% for the game. We shot 39% from three, which considering we shot 38 of them is not bad. Had 10 offensive rebounds, 44 in total. Back-to-back games, we've had over 44 rebounds, y'all. No, my bad, 54 rebounds total, 10 of them offensive. 54, so we had 10 more rebounds than we had the previous game. That helped you win games. We had 28 assists, another great assist night. Had six steals, six blocks. We're averaging over five blocks a game for sure. Did have 15 turnovers, but that was to be expected a little bit. Those nerves, that played a part into it a little bit. Individually, let's see here. Vince had six, five boards, had a steal. Alex Leonard said he had three blocks. He also had three assists. He also had seven boards, three offensive rebounds. Okay, had 7 points. Mari Spellman only had 4 points tonight, but he did have five boards. Porzingis got hurt, of course. He only played 6 minutes. He did have a board, but that was about it. He got hurt. Bembry, of course. Well, we'll get to Bembry in a minute. Dedmon, after not playing forever, had 3 points. He had five boards. He had two assists. He had a block. Dedmon was ready. He didn't get a lot of minutes, but he was ready. And of course, Jeremy Lin had that three that he hit. He did turn the ball over a couple times, but he did have two assists. Red Mamba had 3 points. He also had assists. He also had four boards, and he also played some defense tonight. Let's get to the guys who helped win this game. Bear with me, actually. Well, 646-652-4479. Make sure you are following the show on Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio. Make sure you are following on Twitter, IMTM Radio. And make sure you download the Spreaker app because you can listen to all the shows on the Spreaker app. You download the Spreaker app, you follow IMTM Worldwide Radio, you become a follower, and then you hit the shows page, and then that way you can listen to all the shows of Around the ATL. All right? So, all right, so Bembry, we've talked about him for the last 2.5 years. He keeps getting hurt, but we see the flashes. Last couple of games, we've seen it. We synced it. Played 30 minutes tonight, had 11 points, but he had a block. He had two steals. He had 15 rebounds tonight. That makes a difference. Doesn't it? Have Torian Prince. He fouled out. But before he fouled out, that was 24 strong points. Three assists, four boards, 5 of 9 from three. Boy, the shooter. He's our shooter. He's our scorer. He's the go-to guy. But of all the people that, you know, at the end of the day, yes, I am one of them who keeps saying that Baze is better. If Baze was consistent, it's going to be hard for teams to beat us on a regular basis because in our starting lineup, I've been saying it, our bench is better than what people think it's going to be. Our bench is deep. When we get all these people not injured anymore, it's not even going to be – our lineup's going to be deeper than a lot of other teams out there. And if our bench can score a minimum between 25 and 35 a night and our starting lineup is getting a minimum of 80 – we're probably going to win some games. Ain't going to be able to help it. Right? Now, tonight, you know how that is negated, what my mark is, 25 to 30. Well, actually, that's 25 to 30. There you go right there. Kent Bazemore scored 32. He's in the starting lineup. He went 12 for 22, 3 for 11 from 3. He had 7 assists. He had 3 steals. He had 3 boards. So between him, Trent, Trey, Alex, and the event as the current star, that's 86 points. We're going to score. We just have to be able to play defense. And again, last year, our team won 24 games, right? 24 games. We lost over 30 games by 10 points or less. Many of those games we lost by 5 points or less. It wasn't that we couldn't score. It was we couldn't stop nobody. and now we're showing that we can stop people. Sometimes we don't stop them the whole game, but when we get ourselves together, we can stop people. We win games because we can score. We are never out of a game. Obvious now. It's back-to-back games. We've come back from double-digit deficit, down by 35 billion points, and somehow come all the way back to win. We did in San with Antonio too, right? So I'm sorry for all the people who feel that the team is going to lose on purpose and lose all these games this year. We're going to lose some games, but we're also going to win some games. We might as well start dealing with that fact. Those who are not really wanting to be fans of the team, and you're just a casual fan that just doesn't really care that much. Unfortunately, these players ain't really paying attention to y'all people. They're paying attention to the fans who want to see them win, because that's all they talk about is win. And eventually, you got to get a winning attitude like everybody else. And again, I'm not saying that this team is going to make the playoffs this year. Said that there's a chance of it on the basis that the Eastern Conference is the weakest it's ever been. LeBron James is not here anymore. A lot of player turnover happened this year, team to team, conference to conference. But if you saw it, you saw tonight. We already have injuries. Once we get everybody healthy, Justin Anderson still hasn't played. Hamilton still hasn't played. John Collins still hasn't played. Think about what's going to happen when those guys get their feet under them and we have our full starting lineup and our full saying that we're going to make the playoffs. But, I mean.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
We've won two games now, and I'm going to keep playing that sounder until somehow or another we might be at 41-41. Never know. 646-652-4479. I'm going to go ahead and bring in our co-host for Around the ATL. Again, it's a Pop 2 show. Jordan Jackson is going to come on the line here. How you doing, Jordan?
Oh, man, doing great. I'm kind of on the move right now, so I hope it's not too much background noise. But, man, just feeling happy that the Hawks actually opened State Farm Arena with a W. Because that's
that was
one
a
thing
big...
that's, right, it's always important to me. Whenever we open these new stadiums and stuff, you always like to get it in the record book with a W. And it, you know, made it even more special that it was a nationally televised game and that you did have the two draft picks that were traded for each other in the game, you know, even though they really didn't guard each other much head-to-head. But the thing is, you know, despite the fact that Trey was in foul trouble and so it limited what he could do in the first half, I thought that he did a good job persevering and came up big with 13 points in the fourth quarter. As well as making some plays for his teammates. And so with that being said, even though Luka may have got the best of him, from a statistical standpoint as far as points, it wasn't by much. And more importantly, the Hawks got the W.
Yeah. Well, give me a second, Jordan. I'm going to type something to Elijah real quick.
Right. And in the meantime, I thought Kent Bazemore was fantastic in the game. Definitely, you know, like to see Kent play like that more often. Of course, that was a career night for him. So, you know, not expecting to see that every night. But, man, he was definitely fantastic. And another guy I have to give props to in that game off the bench was DeAndre Bembry. He actually was big on the defensive end. I felt playing on-ball defense and then especially obviously grabbing double-digit boards. And it was interesting because after the game, Coach Lloyd Pierce was talking, and he said that that was one of the things he felt early was that we were struggling to get stops. So that's going to be one of the first guys he goes to when we are struggling to get stops. Is DeAndre Bembry. And one of the things he mentioned about Bembry is his ability to be versatile and play and guard multiple positions. It was funny because Dale Bird called in last night and mentioned seeing DeAndre Bembry running point, and we actually saw some of that in the game tonight. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is that let's see, how can I say this? Sometimes I said it a couple of weeks ago, just with the San Antonio game in preseason. Sometimes teams just hit shots. Wesley was just hitting shots. It wasn't that at least a hand wasn't in his face. He was still just hitting shots. Now, another thing I did notice, there was a little bit of going back to the overhelp a little bit, but not so much. The rotations were really good tonight, actually, especially, of course, in the second half because we came back and won the game. But that first quarter, it was just a combination of just, you know, some jitteries going on. And, you know, the refs were killing us. The refs were really trying to – I just mentioned it before you got on live. It's like, you know, Bron SPN was really trying to make this happen to us, make us look bad. But they didn't win tonight. So, but they fought through it, and I've just mentioned the stats, you know, I've been saying this, you know, basically for the last 4 months now, that our bench is deeper than what people think it is, and if our starting lineup does decent, we're always going to be in games because our issue has never been not able to score. It's about stopping people, and we would have won many more games last year if we had stopped some people, and now we have the evidence because now we're 2-2. So, it, you know, again, it's a matter of – and then we can have bad games with some of our players and still win the game. That's happened now. We're seeing it. We got people fouling out of games and, you know, they didn't come back when he played 11 minutes. And,
The fouls are crazy. To have five guys with three or more fouls, three guys with four or more fouls, and one player that fouled out of the game, that is pretty crazy. Definitely not.
Yeah, it was getting out of hand.
Right.
But they fought through it. Because in most other cases, it would have gotten so frustrating for those – they would have gotten into them. And the demeanor, you know, again, momentum goes a long way. And the refs were really literally just trying to kill our vibe. I actually said that on the group post earlier. You know, the refs are really trying. But they still kept going. And that was the encouraging thing about it. And that's where you see where coaching came into play. You see what I'm saying? Because despite the turnovers, despite the fouls, despite the self mishaps and things of that nature, missing shots, sometimes missing obvious shots that usually they would hit, things of that nature, this is the frustration part of it, people getting into foul trouble. You have so many people in foul trouble coming in and out. But then look where Red Mamba was doing tonight, playing minutes. His trust level is so high, and this is how many games into the season now? Four? Red Mamba's playing. Omari is playing.
Right.
I don't understand where people would be like, I don't want nothing to do with this team. I don't agree with it. I don't believe in this. I don't see how you say those things now. You've seen it live and live in color, and now this was at home. I want to see the person at State Farm Arena with two jerseys on. Did you have a Luka Doncic? So Lavinia Jesus jersey on with your Hawks jersey. Just waiting for the moment when the Dallas Mavericks would have won and you would have took off your Hawks jersey. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm looking at. I'm trying to figure out who these people are still who just are just in so much denial to where you don't want to support this team.
Right. I don't understand that. Of course, I was actually just having a conversation online with someone who's from my hometown. That was, you know, basically I was looking at some of his comments before the game, like, I don't even know who these players are, what in the world is going on here. Like, somebody from Georgia now, who obviously, but he's not a Hawks fan. He's one of those, like, I follow LeBron everywhere I go fans. But, you know, by the end of it, you know, he was like, well, I see they did come back and won. But, of course, he was like, well, you have to remember Dallas isn't good either. I'm like, well, that's great because it's a good chance we'll get that this year. But at the same time, you know, I guess I don't know. I was just trying to break it down to him, you know, what the direction of it was for the organization, you know what I mean, and what we're actually trying to do here. Because clearly he's one of these national basketball fans that doesn't even watch his own local team. But, you know, it's going to be more and more people that's going to get on board as time goes along. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, but I mean, it's fortunate and it's unfortunate. You do want bandwagoners in a way because that means you've arrived. But you know, we all know who was on this thing from the beginning and who the real Hawks fans are. And it's, you know, it's a sight to behold. We won two in a row. We got a good chance of winning the third in a row, being that the next game is against Chicago. And so, you know, like I said, I'm like you. I'm not saying that we're a playoff team by any means yet. Not even sure if that would be the best thing for us. But like I said, if we are, then it means that we already have a great group of young players as is. And like you say, it is true. You do see him playing. You do see Herter getting minutes. You do see Spellman getting minutes. The one concern I have from that game that just passed is Alex Porter is all right, because we definitely don't need.
That didn't look good, and that might put a little damper on a few things. But Deadman is back, so that helps out. You know, again, it's like it's like the Falcons, next man up. You know, come on, you know. But definitely on the rotation side,
we don't want to be like the Falcons.
Kind of hurt
a little
bit
of injuries. We do not want to be like the Falcons.
No, I know. I don't believe in curses though. But Omari definitely, you know, plug and play. And at worst, we still have Miles. So 646-652-4479 is the number if y'all want to call in and join Hawk Talk for tonight on a great win by the Atlanta Hawks over the Dallas Mavericks at the new State Farm Arena. But Porter is getting hurt, you know. Hopefully it's not long-term. Hopefully it's nothing serious, but it didn't look great. But, again, Omari definitely, you know, getting some time. You know, he'll get those minutes. Of course, he got bent. Again, like, a lot of stuff is going to really work itself out when John Collins comes back, whenever that is. You know, that's when we're really going to get the team is all about at that point. Because, again, we've been kind of playing half strength basically for weeks now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that got to be exciting for a lot of people just on that end. It's like we're going to be competitive. At worst, no matter what, we're going to be in games. It might not look great at some point, but we're going to be in games, and we always going to have a shot to win. If you don't like that, that's just bad on you. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, as far as the Dallas part of it, Luka, you know, I'm just looking. I'm like, okay, is Luka really going to score 30 points in the first quarter? Like, what are y'all doing? What's anybody saying? What are you doing? He came out, like, you know, he knew what the deal was. He knew he was on TV. But, at the end of the day, people hit shots sometimes and all that kind of good stuff. But once somebody decides to play some defense on you, let's see what happens. And, you know, again, as far as Dallas, you know, Dirk ain't back yet. You know, so they're not, you know, they got Harrison Barnes didn't play. So they got a couple of guys who haven't been playing yet either. So they're kind of in the same position that we are. But you got people out there making Dallas looking like they're going to be a playoff team. But, you know, me, I don't.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
We didn't let them off the hook tonight. We didn't let them off the hook tonight.
But tonight was fun. And again, the intro, that right there, the intro, separates everybody. You don't like that, you can't be a Hawks fan. You are not allowed in the house no more. Because if that don't get you hype, if that don't get you standing up and doing the slow clap, I don't know what will. And this is the tomorrow starts today vibe all the way through. And this is the theme that they've been working on, they've been pushing, they've been preaching it. And now here it is in front of our faces, and we have a choice. We grasp it and we endure it and we go all the way through to the end, or you become a Lakers fan who are 0-3 right now. Or are they 0-4? They're about to be 0-5. Okay? Okay, I'm just saying.
Right.
The
Hawks got two wins. They have none.
They got none. I'm like, I was going to be Lakers fan for real. Go ahead. Be my guest. Go ahead, Queen. So 646-652-4479. Go ahead.
On that intro, you know, we talk a lot about having guys like Steve Holman, as well as Bob Rapman, having some of the best, Dominique Wilkins as well, having some of the best in the business associated with the Hawks. We can't leave out Ryan Cameron in that. either. This guy is absolutely the best in the business when it comes to a PA announcer that can get you hyped and going. And that comes to, you know, before the game and even during the game. And even, you know, some stuff that he does that provides some laughter throughout the arena as well. So definitely don't want to overlook him when we talk about, you know, having best of the business when it comes to their prospective fields associated with the Hawks. And back to Doncic, though, yeah, you're right. He did come out hot. That little floater he has is effective. But ultimately, when you look at his body of work for the game, 7 of 18 shooting, 2 for 9 from downtown. I mean, he did get 9 rebounds, only had 2 assists in the game. And he did turn it over 3 times as well, so he had, you know, more turnovers than he did assists. So, I mean, he played a decent game, but like the stuff that we talked about before, like Doncic is really going to have to shoot the ball much, much better from three-point range if he wants to be the superstar that people think he can be.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about a player that he reminds me of so far now that I've seen him play live a couple of times now, but what I keep looking at is the proficiency part of his game and what happens if people actually D him up. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, he does not have a real step back. I mean, he hits every now and again, but he keeps shooting it like he's like he Ray Allen. He ain't.
Yeah, it's a low percent. It's not a high percentage shot for him.
Yeah, and there's some other things. I mean, now the floater is really good. You know, he has that. He can get around some people. Not really, though. I don't know. It's hard for me to pinpoint it right now. But at the moment, like I said,
he's going to have a hard time doing it. Yeah, he's going to have a hard time doing it consistently. He can get by guys at times with a nice move here or there. Talking about putting a lockdown-type defender on him, he would have a really hard time getting by them. And even with some of these athletic bigs, when they switch to pick and roll, he doesn't just get by them very easily, like we said. Now, he can rebound. Like, he has very good instincts as far as tracking down long rebounds and stuff like that. That's how he ends up with 9 rebounds, all of them defensive rebounds. But he's going to have to shoot that ball much, much better if he's going to really want to be dangerous, because he's going to have to get to the point where that step back is automatic, and that will help him be able to get by guys, you know, easier. But I'm happy with the guy.
And you know what? Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I'm happy with the guy we have personally, even though, you know, he showed that he could play through adversity, and even though he was in foul trouble, I thought that he played within himself. I didn't think that when he came back on the court, he tried to do too much. He wasn't, you know, really jacking up bad shots. And ultimately, he was a big part down the stretch in the Hawks getting the victory. And it was very much clutch from the free throw line.
Yeah. Luka, I don't know. And see, again, him having to play a certain position, what's going to happen when Dirk and Harrison are back? What position does he play then? I think that's going to be a good question, too. All I know is when Trey had that dribble drive to get the man off of him, I almost passed out. But anyway, 646-652-447. Now they got a caller on hold right now. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Go ahead, caller. Tell us where you're calling from and your name, please.
Yo, what's going on, Mr. Royster? This is Josh from Pac City. I just saw your comment to call in, so I figured I'd call in and chop it up for a little bit.
Excellent. You said you're coming from the arena?
Yeah, this is Josh. Josh Shinlap from the Pac City. Yeah, I just left the arena a couple minutes ago. I just called in to give my thoughts on the game and on the arena and whatnot.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
All right. So, sorry, I'm just tuning in right now, guys. So, excuse if I repeat something that you guys already talked about.
Go right ahead. We want to hear your perspective.
Yeah. So, man, I just gotta say, man, that new, like, the new arena, like, it's been hyped up for the past, like, what is it, year and a half or so. And I was kind of skeptical about it, but I'm being honest, man. That is the coolest NBA arena I've ever been to, and I've been to probably, I've probably been to maybe like 15 different arenas like over the past like 5 years, and that is the coolest like fan experience. Well, I wouldn't say fan experience because they could do more things to get fans involved with the game and with the experience, but I will say like the way they have the food set up, the way they redid the whole arena. You know, the way when you, as soon as you walk in, you see the court. Like, literally, as soon as you walk through the doors, you see the court. And they kind of open it up a lot, man. It just feels like, I don't know how to put this, like, the old Hawks Arena was cool and everything, but I feel like when I walked into it, I wasn't going into a winning squad, if that makes sense. Like, I felt like I was just going into the average NBA arena. And now you really feel like you're going into something, you know, special. So when I'm gonna bring my taking my parents in a few weeks and taking my nephew, and my girlfriend hasn't been yet, I just feel like, man, they're gonna like love what they've done to the entire arena. I did see somebody comment about how they made the seats a little bit too close to each other. I will say that it's a bit of a tighter fit than it was last year. At least the section I was sitting in. But, man, they did a freaking great job. I mean, the food, the way the court looks, the screens, like, just everything, man. Like, you know, just great. I mean, if you guys haven't went out, like, whoever's listening, if y'all haven't been out to a game, man, I definitely recommend coming out. You know, just come to one of the cheap games, like the Kings or something, and, you know, just come out and watch the game, man, because it's that new arena is dope. So.
Nice. I appreciate you calling in on that. I was the one talking about this just because I went to the grand opening, Josh.
What's that?
Right.
Hello?
No, Chris was saying that
Go ahead, Jordan.
Talking about the seats because he was saying the same thing about the seats because he went to the grand opening. And I was just asking that – I was just personally asking that, I definitely got to get in there and check the arena out. I haven't seen it yet live. Even though I had, like I said, it was a 4-year season ticket holder at Phillips at one point. But
right.
I guess I was just asking you, what were your thoughts on the actual game play besides the arena as far as what you saw?
Yeah. So that's what I was gonna touch on next. I really like, man, like how, because I try telling people, like a lot of fans, when we drafted Kevin Huerter, I try telling fans that he's not a typical Kyle Korver, J.J. Redick kind of player. That kid can play defense. If you notice, there were certain times in the game where Coach Pierce would put in Huerter during, like, kind of key, like, defensive moments. And it's because Kevin Huerter is, like, a 6'8" shooting guard. So, I mean, he causes a lot of mismatches. He's got long arms, you know, super tall. Kind of my biggest takeaways as far as player-wise is it's actually a complaint about Huerter. I feel offensively, man, like, I feel like he's being kind of passive. If you notice, like, he did a lot of extra stuff tonight that he just didn't have to do. Like, he had open shots, open dunks, open layups. And I just feel like he's still not confident in his game. And I just feel like he's passing on too much stuff. But I feel like once he figures out, you know, and figures out things and gets some confidence, I feel like he's going to be a really great player for our team, like, moving forward. I can definitely see him starting by the end of the year because, I mean, he's everything you want in, like, a modern NBA shooting guard.
I agree, Josh. I agree. We're ramping up to that. This is why, months ago I said that, you know, this is going to be the most important draft in Hawks history. And here we are. We're seeing it now coming to fruition once again. So, you know, definitely appreciate that thought. From you, How did you feel in regards to near the end of the game? You know, how was everybody else in the arena? You know, you were there live, so some of us only got to see it on TV. So how was that?
Right, man. I'm not gonna lie, dude. I have not seen the crowd that electric. I think the last time I saw, I was at the game a few years ago when we were down by 28 points with like 5 minutes left against the Cavs. Like back when we had Millsap. And a lot of fans had left the arena, so I'd say that was the last time I saw the crowd like that. But I feel like that last, like, half of the game, man, the crowd was just like – I mean, and And, you know, I got to point out to say, man, like, having Jeremy Lin on the team, I saw so many Chinese people there, and they were rooting for the Hawks. They were loud. They were, like, super into the game. I mean, a lot of those people, man, that's probably the first game they've ever been to. So, I mean, you just had, like, the whole arena was just electric, man. Like, that is the loudest I've heard that arena. And I never went to any of the 60-win games, so or 60-win season games. So I'd imagine with all the bandwagon fans from back there, I imagine it was probably, you know, as loud or whatever. But, man, it's just like a lot of people in Atlanta, they finally get what we're doing. Like, you're finally not hearing as much, like, oh, man, like, we suck. What are we doing? Like, why aren't we winning right now? And it's like, man, like, it seems like I'd say 75 to 80% of the fans that are in there, they understand what's going on. They understand that we're rebuilding. You know, and I wouldn't even say we're in the tanking phase anymore. Like, we're still going to lose games, definitely, and we're not going to make the playoffs, in my opinion, unless something crazy happens. But I feel like now we're sort of transitioning into really figuring things out and, you know, not as much trying to lose but trying to grow our young players. And, you know, and I feel like Bazemore and Vince did a really good job tonight with the vet leadership, man. Like, you know, especially Bazemore and Vince taking up for his teammates during that scuffle. Man, it's just like I'm loving everything about the team right now, man. I can't really say anything bad. Spellman played great.
Yeah.
You know?
I really
awesome
like the way Vince did when they were trying to harass Trae Young before those free throws, and Vince just kind of stepped in and shook his head like, not going to happen. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Right.
He definitely showed some veteran leadership on that play.
You know, I'm kind of getting the vibe that there's some players in the league that kind of have it out for Trae. Not so much that they don't like him. It's just like I feel like people want to shut him down. Like people want him – like people – I don't really know how to explain it. Like you kind of saw it with Wesley Matthews and you kind of saw – well, when we played the Grizzlies with Mike Conley. I feel like people just like they want to shut him down more so than, you know, Prince and Bazemore and people like that.
We
it's
saw
like
it. Hey,
want to shut
look, we saw it. We saw it with the Knicks game when they're trapping him coming out off of out-of-bounds play.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio did it in preseason. I'm like, y'all really staring at this boy, aren't y'all? That shows
on a damn inbounds, bro.
That
on an inbounds play, man.
I have never seen
you know,
that before.
And they were up by, like, 25 points, and they were, like, double teaming them on an inbounds. It's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you said, that's a
well,
bit of respect.
That's what we've been
Exactly. We've been waiting for a new era, and we really do have one now. And like you said, a lot of people have been understanding what's been going on. And, again, now me, of course, I don't use that word tanking because there's no such thing as losing on purpose. People develop. You know what happens with development? Players get better. You know what happens when players get better? They win games. It's just part of it.
Right.
And we don't know how many games this team can win. We know we've won two so far early in the season,
right.
and we've won
right,
coming
right.
back with adversity and everything. So it's like, and we're still not even at full strength yet. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We're just halfway there.
Exactly. Yeah, we're missing arguably, I wouldn't say Collins is our best player, but I would say he's definitely like the focal point of our team outside of Torian. As for right now, you know, plus we got people like, what's that guy's name, Justin Anderson. That dude is like a lockdown defender.
Yeah, he's a good defensive player.
Yeah, he is a great defensive player, and I feel like when he comes back, you know, apparently, you know, with Coach Pierce being a defensive coach, which I haven't really seen that much of yet, but I'm feeling like Justin Anderson is going to be a player that, yeah, I feel like Justin Anderson is going to be a player that you're going to see a lot of during key moments of the game, especially when we need stops and have mismatches on offense and whatnot.
He has that familiarity with Coach Pierce because he played in
exactly.
Philly. With Coach Pierce being there. But as far as the defense goes, I you know, we haven't seen the results of it yet, but you hear Coach Pierce still preaching it, and there's certain things that he wants them doing in the rotation. You can start to see it getting better, like what Chris and I
right.
always talk about, them not over-helping all the time and leaving guys wide open for three like we seem to do all the time up under Coach Bud.
Right.
But ultimately, y'all talk about, you know, building the young nucleus and stuff. I mean, we got to start to look at this thing, and I know it's very early, but if you look back at last year and look at John Collins and how well he played, being 13, all rookie, and then you look at Tyler Dorsey has been a decent guy when he's played as far as the second-round pick's concerned, and then you look at what Trey Young's done early in his career along with Herter and Stelman and how they look. Travis Schlenk has turned out to be a pretty good draft guy, drafter when
yeah.
it comes to a GM early so far. And so
we have multiple
right.
picks on the roster right now.
Right. And I feel good about having multiple picks in the future, too, like getting picks from Dallas and possibly, hopefully, a pick from Cleveland if they can get it together a little bit. Because he seems like he knows what he's doing when it comes to evaluating NBA talent. And so, I mean, so far, the four guys that he picked in the first round all look like they have the potential to be very good players in this league.
Exactly. Exactly. And I want to add also, I actually met Travis Schlenk tonight before the game. We were actually in the bathroom together. Well, not in the bathroom together, but we were in the bathroom
at
the same time.
That is all right, Josh. Come on now. Family show. Come on now.
All right. So, we were washing our hands right next to each other, and we talked for about, I'd say, like 1 or 2 minutes, and we were just chatting about stuff. And you could just tell, man, like, he's got that swagger right now. Like that guy's on cloud nine because you had a lot of people doubting what he was doing. And, you know, he just seemed like, you know, like he, you could just tell that he was really happy with what was going on with the Hawks right now. And I let him know, you know, like I know a lot of people don't understand your vision right now, but I see it and a lot of other fans see it. And, you know, I just want to thank you for what you've done for our city so far. And he said, oh, man, the best is yet to come. That's what he told me. The best is yet to come. So I don't know what that means. I mean, people like Schlenk, man, they plan years ahead. Like, he knows what he's doing 2 years from now with the team. Like, he,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you know, there's stuff that's going to happen with the team. Like, we might get a big-time free agent next year, especially with all of this, you know, attention to Trey and our team and the new arena. I mean, we have space and we have cap space for, like, a big-time star. So, which is something we didn't have in the past. So.
Well, Josh, I want to say thank you for calling in and giving us those nuggets there. Definitely from coming from the arena live and giving us your thoughts in regards to the team. We do got another caller, but definitely feel free to call in next week, okay?
For sure, man.
Appreciate it, Joe. All
right,
man. Take care. You too. That was a great call from Mr. Josh, another member of New Pack City on Facebook. Make sure you check out the website, too, New Pack City. A lot of Hawks-related information there you can check out. Got another caller, so go ahead and bring them into the show. Go ahead, caller, tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yo, what's up, Chris? This is Marcus.
Hey, what's going on, Marcus? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's
good,
up,
good.
Man? Had to catch out on my little lunch break here. Man, that was a game. That was a game.
Wasn't it, though?
Yes, it
man.
Was.
Where are your first thoughts?
Really, I called to just say two things. It's the things I was concerned about with the Hawks when they first started this little rebuild is having mm-hmm. identity. And, you know, Pierce is always pitching defense. But now, after the last couple of games, even preseason, what I'm seeing with the Hawks is even though they'll be down big, they don't quit. They don't lay down. And
they,
to me,
they keep playing until the end of the game. Exactly.
Exactly. And what I'm seeing is the Hawks have become one of those teams that even though you may be up 30, you can't take yourself off the gas because they're going to keep chipping away at the lead. And as you saw tonight, they were down 26, and they got down
mm-hmm.
to 21. And then they got down to 10, and then they got back up until they took over the game. So I like what I'm seeing from the Hawks defense. They're going to come up to them. And the one thing I do see, there's some chemistry issues, and that's what's going to come with being playing together. They, I saw that one play where Trey was coming down, and Prince was in the corner. He didn't look back until the ball was in his face. He still ran that through like a pro, though. I ain't going to lie to you. That was a nice shot. But that chemistry, when that chemistry catch up and their turnovers get down low, we're going to be dangerous, bro.
Yeah, and that's
Absolutely.
Just from playing. That's just from regularity and in the minutes and everything. You know, preseason, you weren't playing everybody at a certain point in time. So at this point, now that the regular season has started, but now we have these injuries and stuff that we're still working through, there's going to be another period where you got to get used to people when Collins eventually does come back, Justin Anderson gets on the floor. We don't know how long Poitras is going to be gone, but the good thing about it is we are a deep team, and I've been saying this for months now, that we have a deeper team than people think, and once everybody gets off an injury, we're going to be having one of the deepest teams in the NBA. So then it's going to be a matter of, okay, well, now what? Because, again, this team can score, and they do play great situational defense. The rest of the defense will come along with certain players being in the lineup on a regular basis. But until then, when they want to lock down, they can do it, you know, and that's going to be exciting. Again, some teams are just not going to be ready for that. And like you said, you can't let up on them. You have to beat them by 50 at this point. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that might not be enough. I don't know. We're just talking the four games into the season, but it don't look like they like to lose games. That's what I'm just saying, you know?
Nah, definitely.
Well, that is true, though, especially when you look at the fact even the game that they won prior to that against Cleveland, the Hawks were down 15 points early in that game as well. And so
exactly.
That's two straight games that they've actually come back from down 15 or more points. And I thought you made another interesting point when you talk about the turnovers and getting them down. But like I had said on the show, I said under 15 turnovers, but we were at exactly 15 turnovers tonight, and we got a win. And once again, our opponents had more turnovers. They had 17 than we did. And I think that's the formula for success for this team is having less turnovers than the opponent, certainly.
Definitely. Last thing I'm going to say, I feel like looking at the stats and I'm seeing how each one played, I think we got the better deal out of that trade at draft night. Because Luka had more points, but Trey just hit the game.
I didn't mean to say it like that. That's it. Hopefully this show don't get to Dallas and, you know, their owner Mark Cuban will, you know, sue me or something. I don't know.
Man, y'all did a good job, man. And thanks for the I like that podcast. I appreciate that. That's cool.
Appreciate it. No, call in again soon, man.
All right, man. I'll see y'all later on.
Appreciate it, Marcus.
All right, man. Take
care. Bye.
Well, that's what it's all about, folks. I mean, the thing of it is that, you know, us as a fandom have been waiting a long time to it's hope. It's like Star Wars, you know, A New Hope. You know, sometimes it's not so much you're winning. We've won games as a franchise, and I've said this before. And it's not a matter of whether or not we settle on being able to make the playoffs for 10 straight years. I don't think a lot of y'all have been able to handle not getting to the playoffs for 15 straight years like some franchises I know. I don't think you'd be able to handle it. But for the fact that we didn't get past the first round or we didn't get past the second round and all this other stuff that's happened, it's part of the history. It is what it is. We have hope now that that's going to be different from now on. And if you just can't see that for what it is, then maybe you do need to go and choose another team to follow from here on in, because this particular squad is going to do some big things in the future. We don't know how soon. Could be tomorrow. I don't know. But we do know that this team is 2-2 right now. We won our home opener on national TV in front of everybody. You know what I'm saying? And it was exciting.
Right.
Like Josh said, he was there. He has never seen that crowd so electric. I've been to some of the 60-win season games and other games where the team has done well or come back in my living room, jumping up and down, clapping the whole nine yards and everything as if I am there. Guess what, though? I did that in that preseason game with San Antonio Spurs when Trae Young hit that game with a shot,
too.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we've been waiting for such a long time since Dominique Wilkins. That's too long, folks. And now we have multiple players that can be maybe named in that upper echelon 15, 20, 25 years from now. And that's what we've been looking for. We've been looking to catch up with these other franchises, at least in the Eastern Conference, when it comes to the winning, when it comes to the championship, when it comes to the Hall of Fame. And I think that's what we need to be really looking at for what it is right now and ignore all these other people out here. Who cares about those other people? Who cares about, you know, y'all, a lot of people wanted to, you know, secure the bag. Where did that go? You see what I'm saying? You know, and other people from other, you know, I could go on and on and on, but I don't want to do that. We need to concentrate on the guys that are here in the APL, who are under contract, who are in uniform, who's representing this city, and support them. It goes with the other players on other teams as well, as long as they're doing what they're supposed to be doing for us. You know, so we need to be excited. We need to we need to enjoy this win. But just like Coach Lloyd said in the press conference, on to the next game. Who we play? Chicago, I think it is.
Chicago, so yeah, they actually won tonight too.
You know what I'm saying?
They actually got their first win tonight.
So again, people going through their first and stuff like that, but it's a matter of competing, competing from the beginning to the end. If you do that, you're probably going to win more games than you lose by default just because of talent. And there's going to be some teams that we're going to just be better than. I'm sorry, ain't no way to get around it. And then there's going to be some teams we play better than. And then there's going to be some teams that are better than us, and we still could beat them because of effort. And as, again, this team rounds out with regards to the roster, I'm just saying, y'all, again, some of y'all are in denial, but I'm just trying to tell you, I've been saying this since the get-go. And I have plenty of shows to prove it on the radio show. 646-652-4479. So, again, I appreciate those who took the time to listen tonight. I guess this was a very last-minute show. I didn't plan to do it. I was going to hold off on doing it. But then I said, I'm going to do it no matter what. Because I was going to try to wait and see if I got any feedback on whether or not to do a show or not. But, well, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do a show. And then I did it 30 minutes after I said it. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of soon, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I appreciate Jordan being able to get on the show as well. You know, like I said, he's moving around. You know, we didn't schedule this. This wasn't scripted or anything, y'all. This was definitely, you know, like I said, when I say impromptu, I mean impromptu. That's why I put special on the title of the show. Because we don't do shows on one thing. I'm going to try not to make a habit of it, but this was too important, though. Go ahead.
Well, real quick, though, before you wrap things up, though, I just thought that you made an excellent point a while ago when you talked about the defensive attention being paid to Trey Young by certain teams, including the Knicks early in the season. And so, Chris, that's something I've been calling for on this basketball team for many years. I said that we need a player that draws a double team. We need a player that brings more attention to him in order to open up the game for other players around him. And it just so happens when that player happens to be your point guard is an excellent passer, that's an even bigger bonus. That, you know, as he gets stronger, as he gets even better, teams are going to have to focus more attention on him. And if they do that, he's going to be able to carve them up with the pass. So it's going to become a pick your poison type of thing. And then the other thing about that, like what I was talking about in regards to Travis Schlenk, and Marcus mentioned that we got the better of the trade. Not only did we get the guy who I feel like is the better basketball player between the two, we also get another draft pick in this trade too. And keep in mind, I have predicted on this show, on Around the ATL, that we will get the 7th pick in the draft from the Dallas Mavericks. And so I'm sticking by that, you know what I mean, because I do not think Dallas is a playoff team at all in the West. And so not only do we get Trae Young, this guy who is an excellent passer and an excellent scorer, we're going to get another top 10 pick, too. I mean, outstanding, Travis Schlenk. I got to take my hat off to him for that because he actually got his guy and got a potential top 10 pick, you know, in that, too. So definitely loving the direction the Hawks are going. I've been calling for them to do a rebuild for a while, and I really like the picks that he's made so far. I do like the fact he's still mixing in veterans so they can learn. And giving them a good culture. And the sky is the limit for this team. And, you know, regardless of what happens this season, we're going to see it's not going to be long before we see the Hawks back playing big-time basketball.
Hey, Jordan, real quick, Jordan. Hey, y'all, this is Chris, IMT and Worldwide Radio Around the ATL. We'll talk to y'all next week on Tuesday. Peace.
Oh, I didn't realize you had a time on it.
Hold on a second. Let me finish your thought, though. Hold on. So for those who get to listen to the podcast version on the live show, I tried to do it. Again, this was an impromptu show, so it wasn't scripted. So I didn't give the usual prompt as far as a time frame to my co-host, Jordan. So I want him to finish his thoughts. So go ahead, Jordan.
Yes, my apologies there, sir. But I was just saying, you know, I'm just really loving the direction this team is going in. Loving all the draft picks that Schlenk has made thus far. He's mixing in the right veterans with them as well, so they have a good culture going. And I know Marcus mentioned that we may land a free agent this offseason. We just may. But I'm telling you, even if it's not this offseason, you know, and the same thing with this season when we're playing, even if it's not this season with the playoffs, even if it's not this offseason with the big free agent, it's coming. Because he's putting together the right nucleus.
Oh, yeah.
The cap is looking good going forward. We have very few big long-term contracts eating up a bunch of cap space. Pretty soon this team is going to be a contender. It's going to be a place where people want to come because not only do we have an exciting team that can win, we also are going to have the extra pieces like the facilities of a state-of-the-art State Farm Arena as well, that new practice facility as well. So I'm telling you, the sky's the limit for this team, and it's not going to be long before we see this team mentioned among the NBA elites to the shock of a lot of people who haven't caught on to this yet.
All of a sudden, you won't be able to get a ticket? Imagine that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, that's going to be different. That's going to be strange for some people to get used to. As far as the future goes, definitely free agents. They're going to have to look at the spot now. They don't have a choice. The G League team is going to be here. You got the training facility. You got the best arena in basketball here. You got some of the younger best players in the league here, all in the same spot. Why wouldn't you want to try to come over here? You know,
right,
AD is
right.
A possibility. Why not? Throw it out there. Klay Thompson, what are you doing over there? They don't want to give you your money. They'll give you all the money you want. What are you talking about? Stop playing. You want some Krispy Kreme and some Varsity too? Come on. You know,
I'd love to have
you get all the Coca-Cola you can drink. You see what I'm saying? You know, so whether or not it's the shooting guard position or the center position long term that we fill in the blank with a free agent, you know, or you know, the mysterious draft pick from a year from now, you know, whatever, you know, we'll see what happens. You know how
hey,
I feel about
Dave,
that.
You know, Schlenk has played well. Like I said, Schlenk has been picking well. That seventh pick we're getting from Dallas is going to be somebody good, sir. Watch what I tell you.
Well, I wasn't talking so much about that. I'm just talking about them guys at Duke who ain't played nobody yet. I'm just saying. I don't, you know, again, Sheldon Williams won back-to-back Defensive Players of the Year, was Team USA Player of the Year, and the man averaged 4.3 points in his NBA career for the Atlanta Hawks in 2 years and got traded in his third. They got to show me something.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree. But I'm starting to develop a trust level in Travis Schlenk. To the point that I know he's not going to hit on every single pick. I have to keep that in mind. But you telling me he's
yeah, nobody
a seven pick, I think he's going to get it right. I think he's going to get a high pick like that right. And so it may be
and
one of those
and we have
guys,
leverage,
it may
too.
Not be. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we have the ability to be able to maybe trade up. We could have up to three picks in this first round once again. So – hey, I mean, everything is being set up for the future. And the crazy thing is, your casual NBA fan is not really paying attention. That's only paying attention to your Hollywood teams like the Lakers and Celtics and Rockets. You know what I mean? They don't even realize that as far as future assets goes, as far as cap space, you look at the facilities and everything else, the Atlanta Hawks are set up for the future as well as any other team. And in fact, ESPN has a ranking system about future draft assets, and they rank the Hawks number one when it comes to future assets.
And just to think, there's still people who want this particular person here in Atlanta still.
For the love of God, he just shot a three.
I don't know why they would want him here. I don't know, but I still keep hearing it. Like I said, you can go be an OKC fan if you want. You can go be a Minnesota Timberwolves fan if you want. You can go be a Denver Nuggets fan if they want, although they are playing pretty good right now. You can go be a Boston Celtics fan if you want. You can go be a Cleveland Cavaliers fan if you want, although they're not really playing that great either. You can go and be a team, a fan of another team if you wish. There's nobody forcing you to be an Atlanta Hawks fan since all your favorite players were no longer here. But, again, it's about the team. And just like I said, if we had kept Luka, I would have had to suck it up and been like, I got support for at least 3 years. Triple J, whoever, we would have, I would have had to support him because it's about the team. Who's here? Who's playing? Who's on the contract? Until they show whether or not they actually can play or not, can they help this team win or not? Just like my support of Robert Alford for the Atlanta Falcons is nil right now because he can't help the team win. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Don't, you can't argue with me on that, folks. I'm just saying that's a whole other show. Anyway, so that's going to do it for tonight. This is actually extra time on Around the ATL. Usually when I schedule a show, whatever the time limit is, I have a little bit of extra time after the fact. So this is not live right now. This is actually on the podcast form. But definitely appreciate those who were able to call in tonight and definitely those who listened. I know, I think Elijah was listening in from the West Coast. You got one more thing, Jordan? Got to go real quick here.
I was just going to say, everybody check ATLallday.com at some point in the morning. I will have an article on this big win to open up State Farm Arena.
Cool.
And so follow ATL All Day on Facebook as well as ATL Beat Blog on Twitter. And as always, you know, we thank y'all for listening, and I thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta Hawks that I love.
Thank you, sir, for coming in on this impromptu show tonight. Definitely be following IMTM Worldwide Radio. So that way you never miss a show. Follow on Twitter, IMTM Radio, and definitely you got to follow us on Spreaker. Download the Spreaker app. It's free. If you're on Spotify and you're paying for it, cool, but Spreaker is free. Download it. Follow IMTN Worldwide Radio. The other thing is, if you're doing that, you're eligible for Free Stuff Friday, like Roy Beacham just won last night. So make sure you do that and listen to all the past episodes and our guests. We've had Bob Raskin on talking about this season, Steve Holman talking about this season. You know what they said? That some people are going to be surprised about what the Hawks do this year. You can't listen to our guys who've been veteran Hawks announcers for all these years. I don't know what to say. That being said, this is Chris on Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care. Until the next Hawks victory, y'all have a good weekend.